You know, I was looking some things up and found something of interest. May not mean anything, but the cathode ray tube was instrumental in developing TVs and computer monitors from the 50s, 60s, 70s on into the 80s. One man who was the father of radio and the grandfather of television made this sweeping observation in 1926. Lee DeForest said, "Theoretically, television may be feasible, but I consider it an impossibility, a development which we should waste little time dreaming about." IBM, that was known for their business equipment that they developed back in the 30s and into the 40s, who also became instrumental in early computer development, their chairman of the board in 1943 said, "I think there's a worldwide market for computers, maybe five is the best I can come up with." In 1962, a record executive said, "We don't think the Beatles will do anything in their market. Guitar groups are on their way out." You know, it's hard to move forward when you're always looking back and trying to make decisions by such terms as, "That's the way we've always done it," or "We've never tried this before." It becomes sort of the curse of a church who's trying to follow a God that's on the move, of having a predetermined perspective that says, "We can't because of something back there." Your life can't move forward if you do the same thing. If you keep looking backwards, you're never going to make it forward in the direction that God is leading. Have you ever tried to drive a car looking only at the rearview mirror? It's great to know where you've been, but it doesn't tell you where you're going. And in so many of our lives, we get focused on the past. It stops us. It paralyzes us from moving forward. If you came up in the era I did, you've driven on a lot of dirt roads. One of the things consistent in dirt roads are ruts. And if you've ever gotten into a rut, you know that you basically stay there until you come to a place you can get out. Ruts are designed by the fact that everybody's gone that way, and now you're one of them going the same way. Now, the problem with a rut is if you follow where everybody else has gone, you'll end up where everybody else has ended up. And that may not be where you want to go. There may be another path that you're supposed to follow, but once you get into a rut, it's very difficult to get out of that rut to go where you're supposed to go. When I came to this church 3+ years ago, back in that corner room, the men were studying Experiencing God. I came through the ranks studying that book. Our church was one of the ones that got to introduce it in Nevada, and we had a great experience experiencing God together. And I had kind of moved away from that because the principle of that book is you find out where God is working and you join Him. You don't say, "God, let's go do this together and you come join us." You find out the direction He's going and that's the direction you go. And that renewed my mind and my heart on what this church was to be about. From that group of men, I saw the vision of what this church was to be, a church that follows where God is leading us. Now, that became sort of a focal point because what it does, it tells us God is the one who sets the future, not us, not the church down the street, not the denomination. We're following God specifically, and we go where He goes because, you see, there are places where God may have to cut new roads because He doesn't want us getting trapped in a rut and us going in that direction. But I found that some folks are afraid of that. They're afraid of following a God without clear markings on the road, or at least a path that shows me where everybody else has gone. We want what we've always want. Is again one of those problems to people moving forward. We want it like it's always been. But here's the difficulty with that statement. If God used to be working right here, and it was great, and we did great and enormously wonderful things, and now God says, "I'm not there anymore, I'm over here," that we don't want to go over there and spend our time idly trying to accomplish things that God's not in. So we follow where God is. We go where God is so that we can accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. I like it, sort of a takeoff of Star Trek. When we follow God, it may require us to go places where roads don't even exist yet. That we're going into an unknown. And I know that that's, to me, the heart of this church. We're stepping out into a future following a God because we have decided we are available for whatever God wants. And when you're available for whatever God wants, you don't put restrictions on Him of where that takes us and what we have to do to accomplish that. We're convinced, as was Corey Ten Boom, who said, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Trust the God who is going to be there to face you." Some of you were here when this church was a smaller group of this church decided to build this building a little over 10 years ago. In fact, if you were here then on when that decision was made, stand up real quick. I just want people to see you and know these folks were here to build this church. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. You know, I have to ask a question because the risks were high for them back in those days. There wasn't this many folks making a big decision. There was a smaller group, higher risk to do that. And my question comes back, why on earth would y'all have done that? And the reason is simple. God led them to do that. They're following the Lord. And they were stepping out before it was probably the best thing for them to do with the resources and everything else. But God said, no, let's go. And they moved forward and this building was built. And we have enjoyed this building for over 10 years. It's been our house where God comes and meets us. And my opinion, maybe yours, this most beautiful church, I think, anywhere in the world. When you drive down there and you look at that, that's what church looks like. And that's where you go and meet God. Well, what we're doing now is we're just following in your footsteps. What you guys committed to over 10 years ago, we're back to that same place, that same moment, saying, you know, God is now telling us to build another building, to move a step forward, to enlarge the tent of this building to be able to accommodate things that we can't do right now. Because as God led you, so He's leading us to do the exact same thing right now. Your inspiration has driven us in this. A map on display in the British Museum in London was an old mariner's map. Back in the early 1500s, people were beginning to come over to America and explore the coastline on the East Coast. And so cartographer, whatever he would be, started tracing out and drawing the edges of that coastline. And he would get into areas that were unexplored. And on his map, he would write words like this: here be giants. Here be fiery scorpions. Here be dragons. Because he had no idea what was there. What was just past the coastline? He was just marking the coast. Well, an explorer in the 1800s found that map and he looked at it and he scratched out those inscriptions filled with fear and he wrote across the map, "Here be God." And it totally changed perspective of everybody that was so fearful of what might be the unknown. You can go into it when you know, "Here be God." God that we can trust into an unknown future. Why? God's got a track record. You read it in this book. He's got a track record of faithfulness. He's been faithful throughout that whole book. And you can also take our history and you can see God has been faithful all the way. He's never let this church down. He's never said to this church, "You do something big, oh, if you can't, well, we'll ignore that and move on." He has been there to give direction to the big things so that this church can accomplish His purposes. He's got a track record with us. So it's not hard to trust Him for an unknown future and commit to a building project for we know the God that has gotten us to this point. What he's done has projected himself into this building. Every time I come in here, I don't care when it is, I sense the Lord's presence. And I have to talk to him. I can't just walk in there. It's like if you walked into someone's house and they're sitting there, you can't ignore them. I walk in this building and I sense his presence, and I have to thank him for what he's doing in this place and what he's going to be doing in this place and through these people. God's presence is here. Well, there's a history of God doing that. Let me read this quickly to you out of 2 Chronicles 7, verse 1. Now, when Solomon had finished praying, when they were dedicating the new temple, the first temple, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. The priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. And all the sons of Israel, seeing the fire come down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, bowed down to the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave praise to the Lord, saying, truly he is good. Truly his loving kindness is everlasting. Interesting, that's the song we started out with this morning. Isn't there a good connection there? God is good and his mercy endures forever. That's the prayer of these people, because when they walked into the house, they sensed God. They weren't just walking in to explore what the building looked like. They walked in and they met God. Well, that building was actually destroyed in 586, unusable. And then God sent his people back to build it again. Well, when they started laying the foundation, already they sensed God's presence. Look at this out of Ezra, chapter 3. Now, when the builders had laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord according to the direction of King David of Israel. They sang, praising, giving thanks to the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his loving kindness is upon Israel forever. And all the people shouted with a great shout, and they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Yet, many of the priests and Levites and heads of the father's household, the old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes. But many shouted aloud for joy. Why did they weep? Some said because they didn't think it would be as magnificent as the one before. Some that they sensed there was a fulfillment of what God was going to do. But a little bit later, Haggai gave the answer. The answer of what God was intended to do. And here's what he said. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. It's almost like God was saying, folks, you ain't seen nothing yet. You remember the first temple and how I filled that place and they couldn't even get in because my presence was so thick. I'm going to do the same thing in this temple. Why? Because that's what God does when his people move forward. He comes with them. He is there leading them. He is there among them. And he is there accomplishing his purposes in their behalf. So when that foundation was laid, they sensed God is already here and God's presence is in this place. It wasn't the size of the building. It was the greatness of the God in that building. It wasn't the fanciness of the shrine. It was the pricelessness of the Lord. It wasn't the magnificence of the architecture. It was the majesty of the designer. And it wasn't the multitude of the people crowding inside. It was the glory of God who was making himself known. See, I never look at this as just a building. I never look at it as just structure. I look at it as a place where I meet with God and God meets with me. He's faithful. Every time we come together, I sense him in this place. I sense him through his word. I sense him through the worship. I sense him through the prayers, because this is his place and he fills his place. Joe Clinton had prayed often. I heard him sitting back there so many times on Wednesday night praying, Lord, help our little church grow. And that wasn't just Joe's desire. That was God's plan. God's intention, and Joe got to see it. I was able to say to him when he was kind of not as easy to connect to and communicate with, and I mentioned to him one Sunday when he was here and the house was full, I said, Joe, God's answered your prayer. And he just smiled because he knew God had answered his lifelong prayer. God, fill this little church and make it be seen like that. This building here exists because of the growth potential that the folks who were here back then saw. And to accommodate what God has planned and do, this church, this building, and the new one that will be added out there will be places of opportunity where folks can discover, learn, grow, change, love, be loved, accept, be accepted, invest, and receive. It'll be a place where the presence of God can be sensed, experienced, and embraced, because this is a church that's God's building. We look back, we see God. We look today, we see God. When we look tomorrow, we'll see God, because that's who He is. Faithful to His children. He's never going to send us down a road that He won't go with us and have every provision that we need along the way. That's why I'm here. When I first came to this church, I sensed this is God's place. And I've got a conviction in my heart. I want to be where God is. I don't want to go someplace else that may be nice to go to. I want to be where God is. And I want to be where God wants me to be. And I feel that's the same way about you. Wanting to be where God wants you to believe. Because, see, what we are doing is declaring, here be God. God is in this place. And it's good to be here with Him. See, when God had David write this statement, he was declared a whole lot more than someday, some way, some moment. Because this becomes a watchword for all of us. This is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Say that with me. This is a day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This day is all about Him. It's all about our God, and we celebrate it together. Now what we're going to do, and it's going to not be as confusing. Let me just give you a couple options. We're going to take just a few minutes and transition ourselves out of here, out to the ground. We've got it marked off, so you'll see the perimeters roughly of the new building. I'm going to give you a couple of things you can do. If you find it might be difficult for you to walk, we've got golf carts over here ready to take you down there. Some, they're just going to strap you on the back where the clubs go. So all you do is get up there and stand. They'll strap you in, get you down there, no problem. The seats are available for you. So if you feel like it would be difficult going down the steps, you go get on a golf cart and you ride down there. And it will be a good ride for you. You'll enjoy it. It'll be fun. And it'll get you down there. There are some chairs. Now, the chairs are not designed for everyone. They're particularly designed for those who are brought by golf cart or who might need to sit down. We're not going to be out there very long at all. But I don't want the youngers of us to go out there and grab chairs. The chairs aren't for us. They're for the folks who need to sit down for about 10 minutes. So stand around. We've got it kind of where you can get in the shade right there as much as we can. And then as soon as everybody's there, we're going to do a very, very brief dedication of that ground to the Lord. Now, option two, if number one is for you to go out, band, y'all come on up. If option one is you need a ride, you go out the front foyer. If you can make it down the stairs there, go that way. If you would like a little less of an angled step, go through the nursery. Because the steps are not as steep and there are things to hang on to, you can go that direction. So we're prepared either way for you to go. When you get out there, there's bottled water. So we'll take care of you that way as well. But again, we're only going to be there a short amount of time, so you can accommodate this. All right? Let me pray here to dismiss us out, and then the band will play as you find your way from here to there. Okay? Father, thank you for this day. Lord, this is a day that you've made, and we are rejoicing and we're glad in it. Father, the joy in our hearts is just overflowing to the point that we realize we're standing on holy ground right now. This is a sacred day. It is a day that you have prepared and planned for us. So, Father, may we honor you by all that we do in dedicating that ground out there for you today for this building to start. Thank you for loving us enough and trusting us that we would be faithful to you to do what you've called us to do. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.